This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello and welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. What a 7 days, Daily Mount domination, Tolka Park frustration. Nevertheless, 4 points from a possible six. Not a bad weekend. Joining me tonight to go through all club matters, as always, Adam Leonard. Ads, how are you?
Steve, what's the crack? How are we getting on?
Not bad, not bad. Unfortunately, Ben's not with us this week. Ben's a bit under the weather, so we've had to draft in a replacement. Darren Cleary, how are you?
Dude, you just off air, you were slagging me saying you've well and truly been replaced, so it's nice to get the call up. I'm actually sounding like Ben. I'm happy to be asked.
Well, look, that's been knocked on the head. Basically, Pearl told him to stop saying it, so that would be the end of it. He'll stop saying it. That's for sure. How are we? What a week. What a week in the world of Shelburne Football Club. Only one place to start, really, I think. Adam, first win in Daily Mount Park since 2013. Felt nice at full time, didn't it?
Yeah, it was enjoyable, wasn't it? I think the thing I got the most enjoyment out of it was the fact that we didn't really have to get out of first gear to beat them. I took great pleasure in that. The goals were good. I think the performance was quite good as well. You know, maybe not our best, but yeah, an enjoyable evening up in Fifth Street.
Dazzler, I was standing beside you for the game. Nearly lost my life twice during goal celebrations, but it was magic, really, wasn't it?
It's fantastic. Like, it's probably the first half an hour, 40 minutes was maybe our best performance up there against them. I thought we were absolutely excellent, and still more than we deserved. Like, I felt that we were, if any team was to win the game, was going to be us, and it just took to that 79th minute, whatever it was, to pick the lock. Like, at the other end, we looked pretty comfortable. We didn't look like being really under the cosh at any point. Like, Bo's, you know, strung a few passes together, but I think Conor Kearns had pretty much one save to make all day. So, not only was it an amazing result, but, like, you know, you'd enjoy a smash and grab, but the fact that it was such a comprehensively deserved win, I definitely made it that bit sweeter.
Well, I have written down here, dominant. I think we just, it felt while the game was going on that we had so much more we could have given, if that makes sense. We didn't actually have to get out of, like, third gear to really stamp our authority on the game. We'll get on to balls shortly and have a good old chuckle. But in terms of our performance, I was worried during the week about that game just because of who it is and such a bad record there. And with the great start we've had, I was convinced they were going to be the ones to hand us our first defeat. But we battered them, really. And in terms of, like, starting 11s, that back four, if you want to call it that, I know it can be a five, it can be a three, it can be whatever, of Tyreek, Paddy, Gav Malloy and Sean Gannon. It looks unbeatable at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought there was a few points in the game where Paddy Barron in particular just looked unstoppable, like they couldn't get near him. And the second goal comes from Gavin Malloy. It was nice to see him getting a header up the other end of the pitch and for it to go in. I think no one's more deserving than it. But, like, there was a lot of apprehension, wasn't there, from, I think, you know, outside Shelburne fans of Sean Gannon coming into the club, saying, you know, talking about his age, etc. But you can tell by him, he's a natural leader, he's a born winner. And then Tariq Wilson, I think you were chatting about him at the start of the season, Steve, aren't you, about him, you know, having a really good season. He's been immense as well, so. Yeah, I think unstoppable is the way it looks to me. And Conor Kearns didn't really have to move off his line, didn't really have to break a sweat during the game. I think that's testament to the back four.
All you naysayers that laughed, scoffed at me for saying Tyreek Wilson to get in the team of the year. Where are you now? Huh? Poke your heads up now.
Still giving out about the draw in Waterford. That was terrible, terrible, terrible stuff.
Tyreek is one, Dazzler, for me, who, he looks like he's after becoming a bit of a leader or something this year. I don't know what it is. He just looks more comfortable, looks more aggressive. He was putting it up to Dylan Connolly. Dylan Connolly, probably one of the few Bowles players that could say at least he ran around a little bit, a lot more than the rest of the players did. But a tricky customer, Conley, anytime you're playing somebody with raw pace, regardless of their ability and product, it's always going to be a difficult night. But Tyreek, for me, I think was a brilliant performer, especially going back there where he got a really hard time in the kind of last few games before he left. It seemed to be a bit of a team. Like Gav Malloy obviously had his spell there. John O'Sullivan went off again, but in that first half, I mean, I'd say he covered more ground in that game Friday than he probably did for most of the season for Bowles last year. He's like a man possessed. It like Liam Burt obviously had his time there. Gano would have a bit of history against Bowles. Dazzler, do you think that kind of stuff weighs in, becomes important in a Dublin derby?
Definitely does. Like, I think John O'Sullivan probably would have lasted longer had he not picked up the yellow card. I think he looked really up for it. He wants to silence doubters. Like, there's no substitute for motivation, and he looks like a very motivated fella. Like, I probably would have shared a bit of concern people had after, you know, the 18 months he had up in Daly Mount. Like, what kind of player are we getting? But he's been brilliant since he came in. Like, you can tell that he wants to right the wrongs of whatever happened in his spell up there. So there was one moment, and I was watching, I don't know if you saw the kind of pitch side video that we put up on YouTube this morning, Tuesday morning. There was one moment where Liam Burt is just dancing around. Like, it's basically like the Liam Burt show, where he's just making everyone around him uneasy because they can't get near him. And he like breezes by Brian McManus and Dale Rooney, who kind of run into each other, and it's almost like comedic, where you can actually see in their eyes that they're thinking, oh, we could have been at Shells and now here we are just getting the run around. So I enjoyed that, I have to say. Burt's been immense. Like, he's just, he probably hasn't captured the headlines yet because he hasn't, you know, got among the goals or the assists, but just from his general play, like, he's instrumental in winning the penalty. He was just an absolute nuisance all night. I think he could be a mad call, but in the shout for player of the year when it's all said and done.
Well, I was thinking that myself. Like, people like that, no goals yet. Has Liam Burt got an assist yet? I'm not too sure on that one, but I reckon, like, if you're a fullback or a defender and you've got Liam Burt running at you constantly, first of all, you shit yourself and you constantly are backing off, which is what happened with McManus and Rooney, where they literally ran into each other. Because once somebody like that starts running at you, it's like, oh, no. You just instantly start to backtrack. Because if you dive in, he's going to clip a pass, you're going to foul him anyway. But I think what it does is it ends up sucking loads of players towards him, where it's like, right, we'll double up on him or we'll throw a third body over there to stop him. But then over on the other side of the pitch, you got Will Jarvis. And like Tyreek, or if it's Gano on the other side, who are going to be overlapping the far side. So while he's maybe not getting all the plaudits at the minute for his stats, if you like, and the manager talks about the stats a lot for Will Jarvis, he's allowing Jarvis, I think, to do an awful lot of that work down the other side. Ads, did you see Liam Burt being as kind of influential as he has been?
Yeah, I did, to be honest. I think he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I don't think it kind of went as well as what he would have wanted to up in Tala. And then, obviously, his time at Bowes went well, but the switch to Rovers obviously put a sour taste in their mouth. And I think there's this kind of narrative from other fans of other clubs that, you know, we're signing rejects or whatever. And this is completely untrue. Burt has come in. He's been immense. He's, look at, as Dar said, he's given the runaround to Dale Rooney and Brian McManus quite easily. I think he gave Paddy Kirk a bit of a torrid time all night as well, who, for my money, probably was lucky to stay on the pitch at points. I'm not surprised that he's settling as well as he has. And I think one of the good things about the Shell side so far this season is we have players like Burt and Jarvis, and, you know, would have been like what Jack Moylan was last season, who have those moments in games. You know, I think Shane Farrell, Matty Smith are another two lads that can do that, and obviously O'Sullivan as well. So, yeah, and I'm really glad for Liam to have settled in the way he has. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's up there for a player of the year come the end of the season.
The penalty decision, obviously, for the first goal, just to mention, it comes up later on. We got a message in about the atmosphere in that mono stand. It was feral in a good way. It was just loads of giddiness, loads of excitement. But the same as when that goal went in, like, I was lucky, I was in front of one of the crush barriers, so I just grabbed on and kind of held on for dear life, but it was absolute mayhem. But Dazzler, the penalty decision, I listened to League of Ireland late night from off the ball there on, I actually listened to it Monday morning in work. Balls fan on there saying he was right in line, but it didn't look like a peno. What you reckon?
There's contact there. It's a penalty. I think if it's Will Jarvis, maybe tries to stay on his feet. The manager had that line last week that Jarvis didn't go down in one of the games when he felt contact, because he would have rather scored a goal than scored a penalty. And you can imagine the look the manager shot him when he said that to him. But I think Boyd is experienced player in the league. He knows there's enough contact there. His momentum is sending him down. Like, it's a penalty. You know, it's clear as day.
You were mentioning there about, I think that was off the ball again, was it, to ask the manager about dark arts and all that type of crack. And that's the manager said, like, if it's contact in the box, you go down. It should be a no-brainer. That's what you should be doing. Adam, I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but some dark arts on the ball's end for just before the penalty. James Clark decided to scuff up the penalty spot a little bit. What'd you make of that?
Well, it didn't really add to the result and penalty, did it? I think you can do what you like, but Jarvis stuck it away well, didn't he?
That was a great penalty. Coolest fella on the pitch. I think Dazzler and the manager alluded to Joey O'Brien kind of came up with the Will Jarvis thing as a taker. I get these images of Joey O'Brien really late at night, you know, like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, pulls out the phone, giving the manager a little phone call. Here, I reckon Jarvis for penalties would be good. But what did you make, Dazzler, this the penalty spot thing?
Gaffer, put it in the top corner.
He is the most laid back fella in the world. If he was any more laid back, he'd be lying down. But this dark art stuff seems to come up all the time. I'm all for it. Like, if we can see the penalty in Talca, don't tell Eamon White, but like, I want Paddy Barry booting that penalty spot around. Anything that you can do to get inside somebody's head, rattle them a little bit, cause a bit of confusion, I don't really see a problem with it. Dazzler, am I just a bit miserable?
No, you're not miserable. Like, I think it's fine. I think, you know, there can be a bit of pearl clutching about these things, but at the end of the day, if he was on your team and he was doing his best to try and prevent the opposition from scoring a penalty, you'd respect it. So I don't see the problem with it. I don't know who knocked the clip around, or was it a Bowles fan, was it a Shells fan, but it's much ado about nothing. Like, if you're getting worried about that, you're probably a bit not enough to be worried about.
I've mentioned Barrett and Malloy. Are they ever going to concede?
No, I think we is. I really don't think so. They've been brilliant, to be fair, and like, a fantastic partnership. It's good to belatedly see both of them get the credit, because I think Paddy Barrett was kind of unfairly written off. People assume because he had his spell outside of Ireland, he was out of mind, and then, you know, brilliant in his first year, and Pats didn't play a lot in the second year. People kind of didn't really, you know, they were too quick to question, you know, is he going to have much of an impact? But he's been brilliant. He's, you know, his fitness is really good. He's had one or two injury issues, which like all centre halves generally have. Like, Gav Malloy missed a spell last season. Shane Griffin misses a spell at the start of every season, usually comes back by Paddy's Day and becomes brilliant then for the rest of the season. Like, there's a natural kind of attrition, it seems, to centre halves, where they just take a bit of a battering. But he's been durable, he's been fantastic, he's been, like, as a platform for attack, I don't think people give him enough credit, because Paddy Barrett has started the move that's resulted in some very big goals for us over the last year.
He has, and he's always good for an old scuff. I think at least once a game, Paddy Barrett goes for a big wind or big switch of play. He seems to underhit at least one every game, but all the rest of them seem to come off. Big thing for me at the moment with, like, centre-halves, and, you know, everyone wants to play football and build in the back, and that's all great. But I think sometimes managers are putting people's ability to play and their ability with their feet a little bit ahead of their actual defensive ability. And I have to be honest, when we signed Paddy Barrett, I was like, right, he is just a defender. He's just no nonsense. He's, you're not going to get much football out of him, but he's going to head and clear every ball. He's probably surprised me with his ability on the ball, I have to be honest. Now, I'd be a devil for not really paying attention to opposition players much, so that's probably on me, but they're defending, the two of them, Gav Malloy and Paddy Barrett together. Their understanding of each other is just, it's incredible. And I spoke to Gav Malloy after the game for his post-match interview, and he mentioned that every Tuesday they basically just work on defending. Obviously, all the centre-halves get together with Joey O'Brien, who you can't understate his importance in the whole thing. But Gav Malloy like had this little wry smile when he was talking about the defending with Joey, and he ended up saying, I just love it. I just love it so much. And I think if you have two lads who are willing and quite happy, and like, I'm sure a big header, a big tackle means more to them than a goal does for a centre forward, you're only going to go one way with that, really, aren't you?
Yeah, and I think as well, with Paddy Barrett, just talking about his, him on the ball, when I was in the Gantry with Scott van der Sluis for the UCD game, he was chatting about Barrett, and he was talking about how underrated his you know, ball carrying and his passing is. I think the thing for modern defenders now, we're playing out of the back, that they should be comfortable on the ball, and I don't think you can understate that from either of them, because I think Gav Malloy has a lovely switch of play too. Defensive-wise, the two of them just seem like they love it, don't they? I think Paddy Barry, probably say himself, he's a bit of a bruiser, loves a tackle. There's a clip in that Inside Match Day video that Darren was talking about where he makes a wonderful tackle on one of the Bowles lads. I think it was a striker, Piszczek. But yeah, two fabulous players, and I think we're really lucky to have them.
Do you know who's not getting enough credit at the moment? Like, Mark Coyle's the player of the month, deservedly so. Goal of the month, being brilliant. Man of the match probably against Rovers. Everyone's talking about Liam Burt. Sean Gannon's doing fantastic. You know, Gav Malloy is going to be a club captain and will play in the Premier League next year. But no one's talking about JJ Lunny. And I think he's been really, really, like, he's just so important to what we're doing. He gets us playing. He gets the ball moving. It's probably unglamorous what he's doing at times, but I don't think we have the start we've had if it's not JJ in there.
I totally agree with that completely. Do you remember last season, Dazza, we played Pats away, and I got in an argument with a Shells fan about
JJ. He only passes backwards and sidewards.
Yeah, that's all he ever does. Crab footballer. He's a crab. And I remember saying to him, all the good teams have a JJ Lunny. He might not necessarily, now he can, and he did a couple of times on Friday. He's not always picking out 40 yarders or little eye of the needle passes, but he's constantly keeping us ticking over. He's constantly keeping the ball moving, getting it from centre half, just spraying it to move teams around. The importance of that is unbelievable. And something I've noticed with him this year is defensive work has been incredible. It used to be like Coyler would run around like a lunatic, and JJ would kind of just be there, you know, to pick up the ball after and move the ball around. Now JJ's gone around like a battering ram, and he's luring into people, and I have it written here about JJ Lunny. I have a little asterisk beside him because I'm in the same boat. He's definitely not getting enough credit. He's been brilliant. Like, everyone's been brilliant. It's mad. Like, you can't even look and say, like, you know, maybe he could come out of the team. Like, John Martin, another one, he's come in, and I mean, he was just a handful on Friday. Just caused the two centre-backs all kinds of trouble, caused the two midfielders to have to drop off more, the two Bowes midfielders to drop off more, because he was picking up those little pockets. He's winning fouls. It's too positive. I'm worried with all this positivity. I genuinely am. Like, it's the same last week. Myself, Ben, and Adam are here. We're going, I have to come up with something negative. Like, where are we going to pick something negative from?
I just enjoy the positivity.
Well, this is
15 years of negativity. Every time we do something, it's like, well, we haven't done that in 11 years or 18
yeah.
years.
Yeah, I know the manager was giving out about that in his press conference, wasn't he?
He's dead right. Like, it's like, he doesn't even have to ask anymore how long it's been. He'll just know instinctually, yeah, 16 years, 18 years.
I would say as well, there's a lot of people online, through Twitter, Facebook groups, all that type of crack, who are like giving out every time somebody says or sings about the Reds being top, or you know, we're going to win it all, polish the trophy. Have a day off if you have a problem with that kind of talk. Like, this has been an utterly miserable existence supporting Shells for so, so long. It has been. Like, say what you want. Anyone who was there through that kind of mid-2010s to late-2010s, who suffered through all that absolute garbage that we had to watch week in, week out, absolutely deserves to be able to goad a few Bowls fans online about us being top of the league and them being in the muck, because, by God, it's a long, long time since the Reds have been top, looking so good, looking so comfortable. Just enjoy it. Like, again, am I being a bit too...
They're not even in the muck, dude. Like, I would have snapped my hand off for Bowes' version of in the muck versus our version of in the muck. Yeah. Our version of in the muck was losing 4-0 at halftime to UCD with Bocker Bailey trying to fight everyone in the fucking stand. That's in the muck. Don't come at me until you've experienced that.
Oh, I agree. Like, just let yourselves be happy. I know we're not particularly used to being happy, but just let come. Let it happen. And, like, these great performances, great wins are coming without somebody who I would have thought, when he got injured, I would have said, oh, no, we're in major trouble here, is Griff. So, like, some spoofer got onto us on Instagram. Alan Doody, his name is. And he asked, if Griff is back fit, does he get straight back into the team for this coming Friday?
No.
Where? What position? Left back, maybe, but hardly.
Exactly, he can't. No, I think the only way he gets back in is if there's a change of formation and we go with that five, and he might be able to slot in as a left-sided centre-back. But
even Cam's done really well, dude.
He's another one. Cam's been amazing every time he's come on. Did he get on there? No, he didn't get on Friday. Yeah. He did try his best to get involved in the row with Dylan Connolly, though, which I enjoyed. That pitch side video, again, that you both mentioned, you see him kind of trying to get around the manager to get involved in a little skirmish with Connolly and that. And it's mad to say, considering how last season went, like, our whole season changed, really, when Griff came back into the team. I just don't think he can get back. Who could you possibly drop to justify bringing Griff back in?
I don't think he gets back in now, but I think that's the positive of having a big squad. Like, if we are to keep contending for this league and then challenging Europe and even going to cup run, you're going to need Shane Griffin at some point. And I think that's what, you know, people probably have to be wary of as well. It is still a long season. We are only at the start of it. And just to touch on the celebrations as well, like, the celebration police out in force on Friday night, like, God forbid you enjoy a Dublin derby win. It's football's to be enjoyed week to week. You know, Shell's the top of the league. Enjoy it while it lasts, if it lasts. And don't be minded on any other Muppets.
What's worse than the celebration police? I don't know what you call them, but the people who spend 3 weeks calling for a manager's head, how incompetent he is, how terrible he is, how he's brutal. And then the minute he goes, a terribly nice fella, sorry it didn't work out. Stick to your guns. If you hate him, you hate him. You can't just like him just because he's gone. Like, in the Shells days, when everyone hated Alan Matthews, they didn't suddenly like him when he got fucked out.
No, and to this day, they don't. They still don't like him. That hatred should run deep, in my opinion. If you hate somebody, you hate them. Don't ever forgive anybody for anything.
But why is this all, he's a nice fella, I'm sorry. Like, you honestly were saying the most horrible stuff about him on social for the last 3 weeks.
But everyone says that about Devine. Anywhere you listen to, like, if you listen to League of Ireland pods or online, or I was about to sound really old there and say message boards. They're not message boards anymore, but, like, everyone says, Declan Devine, he's a lovely fella. Well, let him go and, like, volunteer in a soup kitchen somewhere if he's such a lovely fella. Like, does it make you a great football manager? Like, the proof's in the pudding for him, in fairness. Like, he's done nothing anywhere he's gone as a manager. So, I mean, where he's going to pick something up, maybe up north. But I ended up over that side of the ground for the teams walking back into the tunnel at full time on Friday. Actually, while I think of it, Dazzy, you told me earlier, the steward that got stretchered off on Friday is okay, we believe.
Yeah, he's on the mend, bit of a fright, bruised and a wee bit battered, but on the mend, yeah.
Yeah, so as he was getting stretched off on Friday, myself and yourself were behind the dugout about to get onto the pitch to capture a bit of footage. And I got lumbered with the order of Malta basically to carry all the bags over because everyone had gone with your man on the stretcher. So I got lumbered carrying the bag, had to carry it around by the two dugouts around the back of the stand, and suddenly found myself head to toe in Shell's gear, standing right at that block where the tunnel is. I just went, oh no, this is not a good place for me to be standing. But I mean, the abuse Declan Devine got was, I mean, lads frothing at the mouth to give him a bit of stick. I also was quite happy for John O'Sullivan because he thoroughly enjoyed his walk back into that tunnel at full time. So fair play to him. He deserved every bit of it. All the talk around Friday was first time since 2013. First time since 2013. We've beaten them there. Quiz time, gents.
Oh, no.
That day we bet them 3-0. We embarrassed them.
Dean Kelly, Sean Brennan, Dean Kelly Brace.
Yes, Dean Kelly Brace, Sean Brennan, and a goalkeeper saving a penalty. Can you name the goalkeeper?
Dean Delaney.
No.
Oh, he's playing for them. Burden, Neil Burden.
Neil
Burden, that's what I'd say, yeah. Yes, Niall
Burden or Neil Burdon. He's French or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Luxembourgish or French or something.
You got man of the match in a 0-0 draw with Rovers. Rovers in the cup.
But couldn't.
Only afternoon.
Couldn't kick his own kickouts.
Yeah, he couldn't kick the ball out. It was like DDSL Division C1 stuff.
Big Paul Andrews taking his kick.
Paul Andrews, Jesus.
So on that game, that 2013 game, an awful lot of forgettable people donned the famous red shirt.
Oh God!
Between yous, how many of that starting 11 can you come up with?
Brian Shortall, Pat Flynn, Ian Ryan.
Pat Flynn started the game. Ian Ryan started the game.
Graham Gartland.
Ian Ryan, the second most famous person to wear the number 23 jersey in this club. So yeah, with Pat Flynn right back with Ian Ryan.
Alex Prizeman?
No.
Adam Hanlon?
Stop just naming everyone. Adam.
Philly Hughes.
Yes, correct. Started up
was
front.
Was he not gone on loan to Pats by then?
No.
Remember he turfed him out mid-season and got relegated?
No. He eats what he wants was definitely there. Himself and Dean Kelly started up front because Shells were playing a 4-4-2. So.
James O'Brien?
No. Oof. Right, so Dazzler, you said Graham Gartland as well. So you're missing the left full. There are people screaming. Through their earphones.
Simon something.
No.
I can see him in my head. Jack Memory.
Yes, correct.
Came from Rovers, didn't he?
Yeah, two midfielders. One of these is very, very forgettable. Dazzy, you should know this. We had great fun out with the Longford friendly going through.
Eric Doyle.
Squads.
Was Derek Doyle? Doyle. Yeah.
No. I thought you said Eric Doyle. No,
Derek,
no, no.
Eric Doyle.
I have no idea. That's why I was calling you for it. No.
What position is he? Two centre mids, is it?
You're missing two centre midfielders and two wingers because we got Philly Hughes and Dean Kelly obviously scored the brace. So
Adam Hanlon's not one of them?
No, he was on the bench.
Oh, right. Sure.
Two centre midfielders.
One of them scored a famous goal in Munster.
Your man. Tinley. Darren Tinley.
Yes, correct. Tinley. He was on one side. Who was on the other?
Stephen Sheeran?
No, Johnny Watson's favourite Shells player ever.
Ah, Sean Brennan, he scored.
Stephen Hurley.
Correct, Adam. Correct. You're missing one.
Oh, for God's sake.
You're missing the midfielder.
Robert Bailey.
No, I actually think he was the captain.
Was Rob Cornwall still at the club at the time? And we have our back four, don't we?
Yeah,
I can almost see this fellow with the armband on the Macron jersey.
Yeah, the Macron jersey is right.
Crowley, was it?
No, he is still involved in the league. Not
Glenn Cronin,
obviously. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
He's club captain. Worst club captain ever.
Jesus.
So That is how far this football club has come since 2013. It's crazy. I mean, Niall Burden and golf for the Reds, that, some things are just ingrained in your brain and you'll never forget about them.
Do you ever worry you forgot something real important to remember those people? Like, yeah. There's something in my head that's being pushed out that's like critical life information. And Jack Memory played left back against Bowes in 2013.
Oh, it's terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. The bench was even worse, but I said, oh no, the bench would be a push.
Go on, give us the bench. Well.
The bench from that day. I mean, there are some names if they walked past me in the street and told me they played for Shells, I'd say to them, no, you definitely didn't. You're an absolute waffler. Are we ready for this?
Go on.
Ger Hanley.
Keeper.
Brian Shorthall, who became a COVID denier, if I remember right. Adam Hanlon, who in fairness is both mentioned. Jake Donnelly. Who was very, very highly thought of at the time. Now, Mark Leach, of course, the only one who could ever teach me was the son of a leecher man. I remember coming out at one stage. but these two, I mean, talk about forgettable. Craig Mooney and Gareth O'Connor.
No clue.
Either of you remember those two?
No.
I feel like I've heard the name, but if they were standing in front of me, no. Craig Mooney wasn't. Did he play for Pats as well?
Oh, I've absolutely no idea. I am completely lost on that one. I have to be honest. Right. Without getting too giddy, look, 3 points against Bowes. Fantastic. Great to get a win in the Dublin Derby. Somebody who was very, very happy. We got a voice note in from Adam. So we'll probably open the 1895 group chat. We're going to hear from Lukey Byrne. Luke's going to give us an update on his role at the minute, various going-ons around the club. And we're going to hear from Adam, who had a great voice note. Again, full of joy, full of wonder. Let's hear from the two lads first.
Hey, 1895, this is Adam here. Just wanted to give my quick Richie rankings if I can. My Richie Baker for the week's got to be, well, Duffer, come on. Like, yeah, gave us first win at Daly Mount in 11 years. Is that what? Well deserved, and we didn't play our best, but we didn't need to. We played more than well enough to demolish them. And let's not get too ahead of ourselves, because obviously a whole league to go. I say aim for third, and if we get any higher, that'd be great. But let's just not get too ahead of ourselves to not end up like how Scum did last year. Of course, Divine getting sacked straight after the game. That just cherry on top, you know. My Richie Winters then. It's got to be the Bowes fans who said that Divine is the better manager last season. I wonder what they'd say now.
Hey, lads, just touching base here, giving you a bit of an update. I'm currently in the AUL in between sessions. Tuesdays are a brilliant day up in the AUL. The Academy are in for double sessions, so it's the National League boys teams. They come in, they do two pitch sessions, they do S&C, they do video analysis, they do their schoolwork, and they get fed, so it's brilliant. On the men's first team, it's obviously been a brilliant start to the season. You know, we're top of the league, obviously, after five games, which is very pleasing, but it's just a start, and we all are very aware that there's a long way to go. To give people a bit of an insight into my role and what the day-to-day looks like, I would have obviously been working closely with the club and the manager during the transfer window to identify and secure the signing of new players, building the squad out long-term, what we wanted to look like 6, 12, 18 months down the line. And you would have seen two of our academy graduates, Lewis Temple and Gavin Malloy, signing new contracts in the past few weeks. So that's all with a view to building the squad long term. Another element with that would be working closely with Colin Barron, who's our head of academy, to make sure that we identify the high potential young players in the academy and dip them in and out of the first team environment at the right times, balancing it with their own National League teams and making sure that there's a pathway into the first team long term. I would also be coaching the under 20s, so I'm working with John McLean and Kevin Kiely, who's the manager. We've started the season very well. We've got 2 wins from 3 games in the under-20s league, and we qualified for the quarter-final of the Leinster Senior Cup. So it's a brilliant experience for the boys. You know, it's a very young team for the under-20 league. And we've got 16, 17 and 18-year-olds making up the bulk of the squad, but they've played now against some senior teams in the Leinster Senior League and the First Division, and they've competed and done very well and got positive results. So it's all looking really good. The academy teams have started the season very well. Obviously, the women's senior team were slightly behind in their schedule, so they kicked off the season on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to going to the P-Mount game this Saturday. You know, we've got a very exciting young manager who's built a really talented squad. So, look, all things are going well. There's obviously brilliant stuff being done behind the scenes. Talca Park is looking brilliant. There's improvements being made all the time. The match day experience has improved down to, you know, for a number of reasons. And look, it's all, like I said, it's been a very positive start to the season. Speaking personally, it's been a dream for me to stay involved in the club. I'm very grateful, like I would have said at the time, to be given this role and be given the trust of the board and the owner. And I'm trying to make as big an impact as I can and help all strands of the club work towards one goal, which has been successful on and off the pitch. So, long season ahead, but we've started great and really looking forward to this Friday night against St. Pat's.
Nice update from Luke Byrne there, covering a wide array of topics. And Adam, our friend who always seems to send us in a voice note, very, very happy with himself. Very, very happy with his Dublin Derby win. And giving his own Richie rankings. Dazzler, we might have to make this a weekly thing. People sending in their Richie rankings.
I'd be very happy for people to send in their Richie rankings. They're very much welcome.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Adam's gone for Damien Duff as his Richie Baker. Solid, solid choice. You could probably go weekly with that one. And his Richie Baker, or his Richie Winters, was Bowes fans. Which, yeah, again, solid choice. You can go with that from week to week. We'll give our own Richie rankings towards the end of the podcast today. The third and final voice you're going to hear in the 1895 group chat this week is Rory Kirk. He's going to give us a little review of the game on Saturday, and he's going to preview the game this Saturday against P-Mount. So let's hear from Rory.
How are you, lads? Rory Kirk here from the Women's National League side, coming off the back of our opening league game there against Sligo and Talca on Saturday. A really, really good performance from the girls. As a staff, we are really happy with the way they played. We just lacked the goal to get us over the line. I thought we created enough chances to win the game. Dominated most aspects of the game. I thought we played some really, really nice football. I think anyone who's there would agree. Just couldn't quite get the goal that we needed, you know, to put the game to bed. And I think if we scored one, we could have gone and got a couple more. So, yeah, look, I think the girls were happy with the performance. Obviously, set out to win the game, but I thought defensively we looked really solid. Credit to Sligo as well. They made it difficult for us. They sat in behind the ball and made them hard to break down. And I think that's probably going to be a team for this season against us, you know, and we need to find ways to be able to break them down. I thought we did create some really, really nice chances. And just lacked that little bit of killer instinct in the final third, but no doubt that will come over the next few weeks. Yeah, we're all really positive about the performance and go again this week for P-Mount. Obviously a massive game for our side, and look, I think we know what they're about, they know what we're about. There's been lots of good battles down the years between the two sides, and obviously P-Mount coming off the back of winning the league last year, I think our girls are going to be really, really up for it. We'll go away, look at the Sligo game back, look at a few P-Mount clips and come up with a game plan for this week, and a similar performance hopefully to the weekend, but just get a couple of goals, I think will start us off really well. But a clean sheet, a really good defensive performance, really good performance in possession as well, so can't be too disappointed with the weekend, but yeah, we'll look to build from here and push on again. Thanks very much, lads.
Rory Kirk there, gents, assistant manager to Owen Whelan with the Women's Premier Division side. They obviously kicked off their campaign with, best word for it, is probably frustrating, I would say. Probably no objections to that.
Yeah, I think so. I just think, like Rory said, it was a game where we probably dominated and just couldn't really get the goal to separate the two sides. But like that again, it's only the start of the season. I think we have to give the team time to get going. And what better way to do it than a win over Piemont on Saturday, hopefully.
Yeah, Dazzler, you ended up on co-coms for the game, so you had a better view than anyone else. Look, a point is a point. What did you make of the performance?
I thought we were excellent. I really did. I thought we created enough on a different day. I think if you score the first goal, Rory touched on it, if one of them hits the net, I think Sligo become a bit defeated, and it's not that they fold, but the motivation was to go there, get a clean sheet and get out of Dodge with a point. And they were brilliantly organised, and you have to give them a lot of credit. Their keeper made some fantastic stops. But at the other end, they asked questions on the counter-attack, and if it wasn't for Maggie Pearce, it could have been a game where you're left going home feeling sorry for yourself because you probably are hard done by losing. But like, I think the league is going to be an awful lot tighter this year. It's trending towards a more technical league. There's more youth in it. There's more focus on preparation. There's more focus on tactics. There's more focus on video. Like, you could very clearly see Sligo had an understanding of their game plan. They knew exactly what they needed to do, where they needed to be. They played as a team. We found them very, very difficult to break them down. At the same time, you could kind of start to see the identity that Owen Whelan wants to have for the team. And I think with the quality of players, the wins will come. And look, it's a massive game on Saturday. It might sound weird to be so confident. It's the reigning champions. Piemont have set standards in this league for a long time. But I would be very, very sure that we'll bounce in there and win the game, because it was the only thing we were missing on Saturday gone was a goal, because it was a really good defensive display, created enough to win it. And look, we're missing big players, has to be said. Megan Smith-Lynch is out injured at the moment. Rachel Graham is out injured. Obviously, Courtney's out injured for long term with an ACL. So I still think we weathered well. We got the debutants on, the new players. Mia Dodd involved off the bench. Romuald McLaughlin involved off the bench. Jess Garrigan started and really acquitted herself well. So, look, it's a bit of a setback, but I think the players will look at it and be very happy with their day's work, because they actually played really well if you strip it all back.
We did. That game-saving tackle, well, point-saving tackle from Maggie Pearce towards the end, it would have been so typical after all the chances and the saves the Sligo keeper pulled off. Would have been so typical to go up the other end and leak one, but Maggie Pearce was a colossus on Saturday afternoon. She was brilliant. Like you said, Daz, we had chances. Gemma Quinn hit the post, Christy Gray had a chance, Noelle Murray. But I watched part of the game back, and Alex Kavanagh is just so, so central to the way we play. Adam, you would have been lucky enough to have a great vantage point, watch the team last year. How important is Alex going to be to the way that Owen Whelan team is going to play?
Yeah, I think she's probably one of the most pivotal players too. I would agree with you. I think over the last 2 years of me covering the games, she's a player who myself and Sean Cook always refer to as having big moments in the game. And like you were talking about JJ Lunny earlier for the men's side, I think Alex does that for the women's side. And I think if fit Alex Kavanagh, and you're really laughing, like, I think the side is strong as it is, and I think the likes of Rachel Graham coming back, Alex Kavanagh midfield, like you said, I think it's a really strong side. And like the game on Saturday against Piemont, it's gonna be tough, but I do think there's players there for Shells to get the win.
As you mentioned, Dazzler, a massive game coming up this Saturday. For Owen Whelan side, it's a 4 PM kickoff, I believe. Am I right there?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, live on LOI TV. If anyone can't make it, you can pay at the gate out of PRL Park. Not the best venue for League of Ireland football, it's fair to say, but the girls are always really appreciative of your support. So it's a huge game. That league was decided by those kind of top of the table clashes last year. So if you can't get out, give the girls a bit of support. If not, you can tune in on LOI TV and cheer on from your sitting room instead.
It's a 5 o'clock kickoff duties.
You're 5 o'clock. Sorry, my apologies. Yeah. My
it's
apologies.
An usual time for they're usually 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, I have about a page worth of women's Premier Division talk and a breakdown of the game. Do you think I could get the kickoff time right? No, absolutely not. Something I do want to acknowledge as well: the Academy, the League of Ireland Academy season is back. We've heard from a couple of bodies involved in the academy this season already in the group chat. Those games come thick and fast. FAI Connect is a great asset there. If you have a free Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon to get out and watch a couple of games, the fixtures are always up on FAI Connect. Bit of a mixed bag for the academy this week. The men's under 20 side were beaten 2-0 at home by Derry. Interesting enough, Jad went out and played 80 minutes after obviously not getting on Friday. So it's great the bodies can get out, get a few minutes in their legs. Lewis Temple obviously played a full 90 there as well. The men's under 17 side got a 4-1 win away to Dundalk. And the under 15s got a 3-2 win at home to Athlone. On the women's side, under 19s got a Dublin Derby win. A 1-0 win against Bowes, a narrow 1-0 win against Bowes, but always nice to take 3 points away from that lot. And the women's under 17s, 3-2 loss away to Rovers in the Ringsend Derby. So mixed bag, but if you can, again, get out and give your support to the academy teams. It's the next generation, it's the next batch. So do get out, give them your support when you can. Gents, we were inundated with questions and some not questions, more statements, which sometimes I think I enjoy a little bit more. But Jordan O'Reilly was on Twitter and he asked, is it possible to lock Gavin Molloy up somewhere and never let him leave? What player? All I'll say is balaclavas are easily gotten. I own a van. I own a big van, so no problem. We could probably arrange something. Luke Byrne, not that Luke Byrne, a different Luke Byrne, asked, are we winning the lot? Basler? Are we winning the lot?
Yeah, treble. Europe, UEFA Europa Conference, we're coming for you. Look, it's too soon to say. Like, it's one of these, we've had a great start. We laughed at Shelbyville when they had a great start last year and crowned themselves champions after five games. Like, I don't think we're that level of deluded. It's a brilliant start. It's been helped by the fact that the other top teams, with the exception of Derry, have had poor starts. So, like, be happy where we are. The road we're on is positive. Like, I don't think you'd be calling any, deciding who the title contenders now would be far too soon, I would think.
That's probably the most important question we got this week from Shane O'Doherty. Do Shells have the best curry chips in the league?
Definitely top three. Definitely top three. I was in Sligo. Dude, you got me some curry chips. They were really good.
I didn't. Ben did. Well, just put it out there.
Thank you to Ben and Waterford. So we're definitely in the European mix for curry chips, but I don't know. It's a tough place to be, you know.
The big question. The big questions.
How come Adam doesn't get these questions? Make Adam answer.
Sligo for me to answer the curry chip conundrum.
Ooh. Adam, you're going to be barred from the Talk Park Chipper fan.
There's worse things to be barred from, Steve.
No prisoners from Adam. Shane, I'll come back and I'll get curry chips off you on Friday. Don't mind Adam.
Somebody else sent in a little tune about Gav Molloy. I can't read it out. It's not PG, but...
I'll read it out. Go on.
Go on, read it out. Go on. Sing it. I think you should sing it rather than read it, to be honest.
Dazzler, you're in charge, so if this all goes belly up, it all falls on you. I'm not going to sing it. I've sang enough on the airways for this club over the last couple of years, so I won't be singing again. But Gav Molloy, you're the love of my Gav Molloy, you're the love of my life. Gav Molloy, I'd let you shag my wife. Gav Molloy, I want ginger hair too. So there we go.
Great stuff.
That's
from curry chips to that.
That's where we are at the moment. Again, I can't read out everyone's. Somebody got angry with me in a DM on Instagram there last week, so I didn't read out his question. I'm sorry, but I can't get to all of them. That spoofer, Alan, was on again. Do you feel you owe me an apology after publicly doubting my stat in regard to our win in Daily Mount? That's my brother again. I said in the pod last week, I wasn't sure whether that was true, that I'd need to check. Dazzler, you're a broadcaster. Am I not right to cover myself and not go all in on the fact that I haven't checked myself?
Usually I'd say journalistic best practice is to do so, but I mean, we're not really the bastion of journalistic best practice here at the 1895 podcast. You're just thinking about Gav Malloy shagging your wife.
Jesus Christ. Oh, we're in trouble after this one. Shauna wants to know, or wants us to get Scotty van der Sluis on as a guest soon. She said the way that he winds up Bulls fans is just brilliant. That's what are the odds? What can we get him?
Yeah, very high, very high. He's a proper red, like he watches every game. He comes to as many as he can. He was over recently, the weekend before Galway, and just had to go home before it. So, yeah, we'll have him on.
What else? What do I have next? Oh, Sean O'Kelly said, since Conley was diving all over the place on Friday night, should it be a straight red card for a blatant dive?
No.
No. No, yeah. But like, I think he'd done it so many times that he probably should have been sent off. But I wouldn't necessarily say the referee, you know, managed the game too well. I think there was plenty of times where Paddy Kerr could have gotten a second yellow and he didn't. So I don't know if I'd be giving straight reds. I don't know.
I like Dylan Connolly. He's a bit of a maniac.
Ah, shut up. No. Don't ever utter that phrase on here again, or you'll be barred.
Dude, what if he ends up playing for his next season?
He won't.
He might.
He won't. And if he does, all right. If he does, you can play in this audio. He is a more modern day version of Dylan McGlade. Dud firework. Whoa. All the potential. You see the firework go up, all the fire coming out the bottom of it. Oh, something great's going to happen. No. Cross goes straight out over the keeper's head for goal kick. No. Do you want to repeat yourself there?
What? Which part?
What did you say Dylan Connolly was?
I said I like Dylan Connolly.
Oh, that's outrageous. Dylan Connolly was offering out the staff.
I respect it. He's a maverick.
No, you know? He's not a maverick. No. No. And his hairline is worse than mine, I'd just like to say. His is just longer.
Former Shells player, Dylan Connolly.
Yeah, former in bold letters there. Where am I? Oh, you've thrown me off now. This is probably a more serious one. The club, obviously, in the last couple of days announced the... Dazzler, help me out. I'm confused. Can't find the word. They walk out onto the pitch with the players. Mascot. A new mascot scheme. It was announced the last couple of days. Adam Carey was on asking, is €150 too much for a child to be a mascot?
Yeah. I would say yeah. I don't know what the reasonable price is, but I don't think $150 is quite right. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this, so I do apologise, but I think it's a bit excessive.
No, don't apologise, Adam. We're here for opinions. I suppose, right, to be a fair mediator in the argument, there is a lot included in the match day experience for a mascot, Dazzler. I know it includes a jersey and stuff like that. Where do you kind of stand on it?
I think we belatedly resurrected the programme last year. We did it for free. It was a good program, but it was a bit helter-skelter where, you know, there might be two mascots and then someone might land in on the day and, oh, it's little Jimmy's birthday, can he do it too? And it wasn't really a program per se. It was probably difficult to manage, and John Brennan, the SLO, did a great job of it last year, but it probably did need to be formalized. And I think until you put a cost or a price against it, you might always have that thing where, oh, sure, look, just another mascot won't do any harm. I think it's good that we have a mascot program. I think it's great to give particularly young people those kind of memories. It's steep. There's absolutely no denying that. Like, there's a jersey included. There's 3 match tickets, the mascot and 2 parents. So there is, like, you know, obviously you'd like to be able to, you know, can you offer something like that for free? But the reality is grounds are getting busier, things are getting bigger, and like, we probably can't decide the next 5 years of the club based on what's happened for the last 10. because if the approach was always, well, we've always done it this way, we're sure we'd still be sitting there with 400, 500 people there. So, look, it is steep, is my own personal opinion. And I'm not trying to in any way kind of talk down the program. I'm sure there's a very strong business rationale behind it. Like the jersey, there's a cost. The other stuff, the tickets, there's a cost associated with it, the photo, everything. Like, it'll be an amazing experience for anyone who gets it. It'll probably be a better experience than people would have had last year doing it when it was a little bit helter-skelter, seat-of-the-pants stuff. But the price is steep. I'm not going to disagree with that because it's a statement of fact. That's just the opinion I have, you know.
Fair points all around. We're nearly there, gents.
What do you think, Stephen?
Oh, I think it's extortion. I think it's really, really expensive. Again, look, you said there's obviously a business rationale behind it, and that's fine. I understand that. But I think you can make your money in other ways rather than a mascot thing. But that's just my opinion. Again, we try not to be too... everyone always agreeing with each other and agreeing with the club all the time, because that's just not the way we all think. So, yeah, I'm in the very, very steep camp. I think it's mad money. I just think, like, if it was me and it was my child, I couldn't afford to give up €150 in a week to do it, to be totally honest. And I'm sure a lot of people are in that same bracket. Now, other people can afford it, and look, I suppose on that end of it, that's fine. But bring back the days where Reggie was just drafted in as a random mascot. I was like, here, Reggie, don't have a mascot, walk out with the players there.
Reggie was doing it up until 2019. 22 years of age, walking out with
someday Alan those Byrne. Photos. Someday those photos of Reggie in full kit, taken a couple of weeks ago, will rear their ugly heads, and I can't wait for it. I'm here for it. Right, it's time for the most important part of the pod, the Richie rankings. Adam, in his voice note earlier on, gave us his for the week. His Richie Baker was Damien Duff. His Richie Winters was just the Bowls fans in general for thinking that Declan Devine was a better manager than Damien Duff, which is absolutely mad to think back on. But as everyone knows who listens weekly, some people, new listeners, or people listening in from other clubs may not know, the Richie rankings are very simple. There's two people in life. There's a Richie Baker, nice fella, good crack, good solid red. And then there's Richie Winters, who... it's just a dark cloud hanging over everybody. Likes to ruin cup finals and ruin children's lives. Adam, it's time. Give me your Richie rankings.
I'm going to give my Richie Baker this week to Gavin Malloy. I think it's fairly standard. We don't usually discuss these things, Steve. We're not four, so I don't know what you have. But I think Gavin was immense. On Friday evening, again, one of the lads was talking to me the other day about him, and I don't think there's a better player in the league at the minute. He took his goal well, and he defended well throughout, and I think he's fully deserving of it.
100%. Dazzler, have you got a Richie Baker for us?
I do. I'm going to go with the underappreciated man I mentioned earlier. I'm going to give my Richie Baker to JJ Lunny. Think he's had a brilliant start to the season. Probably hasn't got the plaudits that he deserves, because he's been a very, very important factor why we're moving so well.
I am going to go for Declan Devine for his services to North Dublin football. The Richie Winters, this is always where it gets a bit better. I'll kick us off. Whoever's in charge of the Pats ticketing system, you're my Richie Winters. Imagine not being able to, you know, host people trying to get on to buy a ticket that's literally going into your club's pocket, and you've delayed the process. You've angered people. Did they do it on purpose? Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, whoever pushes the buttons on the Pats ticketing system, you're my Richie Winters. Gents, who wants to pop in for us with theirs?
Go ahead there.
I can't believe you've put me in this position, and I hate you for it, but I'm going to defend Pats. I'm like Saddam Hussein's lawyer here, but
Dylan Connolly is a great person. Oh yeah,
Saddam Hussein's lawyer who nearly bought the Reds, by the way, but that's a story for a different day. What was I talking about? Pats, they give us a good allocation. 1,150 tickets is a, you know, it's double what Bowls give us. It means that the majority, you know, two-thirds of the season ticket holders, a little bit less, will manage to get their hands on a ticket. So I am going to give them credit for giving us a stand and a terrace, or a bit of a stand and a terrace. But yeah, obviously, piss up in a brewery.
No point having a stand if you can't buy tickets for it.
I haven't. My Richie Winter is. I'm going to give it to Shane Keegan this week. I was listening to LOI Late Night, and he had this mad shout. And it was
I know where this is going.
I was like, tell us you haven't watched much Premier Division football without telling us you haven't watched much Premier Division football. He said the Dundalk squad is better than the Shell squad on paper. Oof. Or some words to that effect. And I was just like, well, maybe if you haven't seen football since they're in Europe and Andy Boyle and Daryl Horgan were brilliant players in the peak of their powers, but they're not anymore.
Yeah, he basically said if you put the two 11s beside each other on paper, that he would pick the Dundalk 11. On pure ability, he kept saying. He said not on form or anything like that, but he said just on pure ability, you'd pick them. You'd pick the Dundalk 11. Now, in fairness, Shane Kennedy, good Reds man, was on LOI Late Night and shut them down very quickly and just said, ah, look, I haven't heard of half those Dundalk players, which is true. And Keegan's defence to that was, you've heard of Andy Boyle, you've heard of Daryl Horgan.
They lost 5-0 to Sligo at home.
Neither of them would get into the Reds 11 at the moment.
No.
Not within a hair's breadth of the Shell's 11 at the minute. So
right, Munro, Scottish keeper. Munro or Conor Kearns?
Are we going to do... Yeah. Are we really going to do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's only going to be Kearns.
Yeah. I'd have Paul Skinner over Munro. Andy Boyle or Sean Gannon?
Sean Gannon.
Yeah, kind of comparing apples to oranges there, but it's Sean Gannon all day.
Yeah. Ainsley or Paddy Barrett?
Ainsley Harriet. Yeah. I'd have Ainsley Harriet play centre back for me than that, lad, to be honest.
Is that the ready, steady cook bloke?
Yeah.
Archie Davis is a good player.
Yeah.
But I don't think he gets him.
But he's not better than Sean Gannon.
Muller, again, grand player, but I think probably mid-table.
Wouldn't even have him on the bench.
Robbie Benson.
Maybe 5 years ago.
Bradshaw.
Who? Farouk?
Exactly. McGuckin.
John McGuckin, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have John McGuckin playing centre midfield.
Gillen looks all right, but I mean, he doesn't start for Shell.
No, none of them do because they're dirt.
And then the final one, if you're ready for this,
are you ready? Is the question.
Not ready. Not as ready as I thought it would be. Swierkiewicz.
What?
Swierkiewicz. Sounds like fucking skin disease.
So you made it up.
Exactly. Yeah. I made it up. He plays for Waterford.
Oh, God.
There we go. We're on a downward slope here.
Yeah, I'm not having that.
Adam, you're Richie Winters.
Richie Winter for the week. I'm going to give it to Darren Cleary's best mate, Dylan Connolly, for being really poor Friday night. I agree with Darren, to be fair. I do think he ran his heart out, but quality-wise, I think he was lacking. And he's one of Bowles' better players as well, so he gets my Richie Winter for the week.
Fair. All round. Gents, we're out of time. Obviously, two massive fixtures. We've talked that much rubbish, we haven't even got a chance to preview the Pats game. We haven't done massive previews on any of the games this year, so I'm superstitious like a certain somebody, so we're not going to do it this week either. We're playing Pats away on Friday, 7:45. Dazzler, will there be any general ticket sales left?
I'm actually trying to figure that out. It does not look like it.
Oh, well.
Grant, another sellout and an away end, but your Shells don't actually have any fans. We're the Minnows, the small club, don't ever forget it. And the Women's Premier Division side are playing Saturday afternoon / evening, 5 o'clock kickoff, PRL Park against Piemont United. A massive, massive game that season, although it's only the second one for the year, but a huge, huge game. Get out and support if you can. Gents, thank you very much for giving up your evenings.
Cheers, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. D.
No problem. And we will talk to you next week. Up the Reds.
Shelbourne, Shelbourne, top the league.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelbourne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.